National Monument in Chicago, Illinois, with your host, Dr. Lynn Hughes.
We welcome you to Live from the Pullman National Monument, our global cast magazine format talk radio show, where we discuss all things culturally economic development, i.e. tourism, and we hold informative conversations on the arts, music, business, and people. I'm your host, Dr. Lynn Hughes, founder of the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum, a National Park Service site in Chicago, Illinois. Good day to you, my listening audience, and we thank you for joining us. Stay with us. Today's show is brought to you by the Pullman Messenger Magazine and Hughes Peterson Publishing, partially underwritten by United Auto Workers, Local 551, and the Chicago Neighborhood Initiative.
Support Hughes Peterson Publishing by visiting thepullmanmessenger.com and purchase an annual subscription. It's just $12 a year. Or purchase an Anthology of Respect by Dr. Lynn Hughes, available on Amazon.com.
In the tradition that we are establishing, let's talk about the Pullman National Monument. We have established this component of the show because the Pullman National Monument is still very new, and we are still in the process of branding and identifying ourselves. For us, that's very important, because if we don't brand and identify ourselves, others will do so, and that's always a problem. Case in point, people in general, and certain media outlets included, still write about and refer to the Pullman National Monument as one building in Pullman, and that is the clock tower, as the Pullman National Monument. And that is inaccurate. Unintentionally or not, doing so is divisive. According to the United States Department of Interior, and according to the proclamation established by President Barack Obama, on February the 19th, 2015, the historic Pullman District in Chicago, Illinois, is the Pullman National Monument. Unlike other national monuments, the Pullman National Monument is not just one building. It is a thematic district. Within that district, there are several tourist sites, lots of great things to see. And so that is important for people to understand that. As a matter of fact, people in the area still, because of what they read, don't understand that the Pullman National Monument is a thematic district and not just one building. We have in the Pullman Messenger a map that would be great for people to get and see for yourselves. It identifies, I think there are seven sites within the monument that will better help you understand and interpret the Pullman National Monument. So a little commercial, go to pullmanmessenger.com and you can purchase an annual subscription for $12. Included in that magazine is a map of the Pullman National Monument. And there you will see all of the wonderful sites that are there for people to visit when they come. And we are the Pullman National Monument, a part of the National Park District's site. We are what is known as a partner site The National Park Service owns a building in the park, in the Pullman National Monument. They are perceived as the authority in the Pullman National Monument under the National Park Service. But there are partner sites in the National Monument. There, of course, is the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum. There is the Hotel Florence. There is the Pullman Clock Tower building. They're still vacillating on what that's going to be called. Some people refer to it as a museum, but it is not. It is more, I think, ultimately, it will be more of an archive, a repository for different things, but it is not a museum. Then there's the Greenstone Church. There are other places. There is the Pullman Visitor Center. That's the gist of the sites where people can go. But of course, the entire district is the housing stock of the original town of Pullman. And we have wonderful house tours that we offer, walking house tours that exist in the Pullman National Monument. So I hope that that helps to define, if you will, the Pullman National Monument in a way that will be helpful to people who come from all over the world to visit the Pullman National Monument, and they mistakenly, because they have had inaccurate information given to them, think that the Pullman National Monument is one building, and that is the clock tower, and that is inaccurate. So, without further ado, we will take a quick break and come back with our first guest.
Visit the PullmanPorterMuseum.com, where you can purchase an annual membership at the level of your choice. And, of course, visit our website here to find out more about the show live from the Pullman National Monument at bbsradio.com/live from PNM to contact us.
Today's guests are State Representative Ken Duncan, Chair of the Illinois Tourism and Conventions Committee, and Mr. David Peterson, President and Executive Director of the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum. And we are very pleased to have them join us today. Our first guest, Representative Ken Duncan, is a member of the Illinois House of Representatives, but that is not why he's joining us today. The distinction of his visit with us today is, as this show is all about tourism, Mr. Duncan is the chairperson of the Illinois Tourism and Conventions Committee, and he currently serves on the board of the Chicago International Film Festival. Mr. Duncan was the sponsor of a bill that created the legislation known as the Duncan Law to extend tax credits to film producers as an incentive to bring more film industry business to the state of Illinois. Because of Representative Duncan's legislation, Chicago can now boast that films such as Superman, Batman, filmed in Illinois, and TV shows such as Empire, Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, and others currently film in Chicago. Finally, Representative Duncan is a proud member of the world-renowned Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, Incorporated. Representative Duncan, welcome to the show. Glad to have you here today.
Happy to be here, Dr. Hugh. Thank you so much for having me as your guest.
And you are so welcome. You're so welcome. I'm so anxious to talk to you. I've been just anticipating this conversation. I have lots of questions. We're so proud to have you. You're a young man and so well accomplished. It is an honor to have you on and to let people know that people like you exist. So I guess maybe the best place to start is I'm going to just allow you to introduce yourself formally. I have done some, but but it's nothing like tooting your own horn, if you will. And then my first question after you do that is to explain to me how I know that you were chosen in 2009, and then explain to me what happened between 2009 and 2015. Can you do that? But first, introduce yourself and let people know who you are and what you do.
Well, I'm State Representative Ken Duncan, and I serve in the Illinois House. I've been chairing the committee since 2009, and I started in politics, well, as an elected official in 2002 of December. And so I am, you know, just a proud Illinoisan who has simply tried to add some value to the great state of Illinois and see to it that those strong resources that all of us pay into by way of when we rent a car, we stay in a hotel, when we do certain taxes, when it comes to our phone, some of those dollars go to not only the Illinois fund, but your taxpaying dollars help fund and sustain the functioning of state agencies such as the Illinois Bureau of Tourism. It is critical for people to know that their taxpaying dollars are directly running local, state, and federal government at every level. And so it's incumbent upon wonderful organizations and individuals like yourself, Dr. Hughes, over at the Pullman Museum to actively engage your taxpaying dollars at the state level and educate us on why it's important for the state to turn back around and invest in these entities, especially when it comes to helping create overnight stays in the city of Chicago and in the state of Illinois, quite frankly.
I was anxious to have you come on because most people, and I will just be candid and say the African-American community in particular, has not yet fully grasped tourism and what it means, what it can mean, and the potential that it has, which is what this show is all about. When I say cultural economic development, and people, I've been saying that for 20 years, and people want to know, well, what is that? It falls under the broader umbrella of tourism, and it means many different things. But we just have not been educated about tourism. And that's why it was very important to have somebody like you who knows it and can articulate that to us. And like the information you just shared, people would never even think about taxes on renting a car or doing those kinds of things that go into funding support entities for tourism for their respective states. They just would never think of that. And only if you're knowledgeable about the subject matter are you then capable of articulating that. And so that's why we're so thrilled to have you on so that you can teach us. You know, we can provide the venue for you to, or the vehicle for you to have that conversation, but we desperately need that kind of information given to us. John Q. Public, you know, politicians may know, but the general public has no idea.
Yeah, and that has been the challenge for a number of elected officials to come up with a medium to communicate to the taxpayer, the citizen of this state at large. That is the biggest chasm. And actually, a lot of your locally elected officials, certainly in Chicago and Cook County, they don't have the appropriate medium or the consistent medium outside of maybe their website or their email serve list, if you will, their newsletters. It can be a bit of a challenge to really fully engage people civically of what's going on with their tax dollars. For example, the Chicago Teachers Pension, fire, police. But you also do the same thing for the teachers, the fire, the police, and university professors and staff statewide. Because Chicago, for example, is at one level. Then you have the surrounding suburban areas in Cook County. That's another level. And then you have those individual organizations or families that live outside of Cook County or in the collar counties, as we would say, and they contribute as well. It's all really all a lot of our money is meshed into the overall state budget. And then, of course, state sales taxes. You pay, well, when you walk into a store, we get out off the top before you get your product. When you walk in, think about it. if you make $10 an hour to $10,000 an hour, the government puts you in a liable scenario where you have to pay us some type of function, some money, and we chase you down to the end of the earth to get it. But a lot of that money, you know, you don't just have to rent a car or stay in a hotel to contribute to the tourism fund. Your taxpaying dollars play a role with investing in the function of the Bureau of Tourism and overnight stays to the travel magazines. That money is combined out of the general revenue fund at the state level. And depending on who the state employees or the state actors are, that's, or who the governor is in some cases, in a lot of cases, that determines the level of focus that that state agency or city or county agency, for that matter, where and how they're going to focus in spending your dollars, your taxpaying dollars. It's really as simple as that. I mean, in our state, a lot of people don't know we have, this is a wine country, a wine state. We cultivate wine. We have vineyards, you know, that are all across southern Illinois, in some cases up a lot near Galena and the Rock, around the Rockford area. I mean, that's something that most people don't know. People don't realize that we have an incredible outdoor adventure scene where it's out in places like Star Rock, the Shawnee Forest. I mean, I can go on and on. You have a huge travel promotion that the state is really has really pushed for. You have Mancations that is like the ultimate guy's getaway guide that we push. We have really offbeat and unusual attractions around the state. We have trips all across the state that are off-road, trips for active travelers. We have the famous, and people forget or they take it for granted, we have the famous, the beginning and the start of the famous Route 66, which starts at Michigan Avenue and Monroe, right in front of the Art Institute. Take that street, and then it connects, of course, on a route to Ogden Avenue, all the way through Central Illinois, through Colorado, through Nevada, and it ends, of all places, at Santa Monica, California. But it starts in Chicago. So we had a huge campaign on promoting that a few years ago. And you, the taxpayer, pays for that.
And you know, the general public really is not clued into that at all. At all. And most of what you just said, we are in, the perfect example is that we are in the tourism business. We operate a museum, and there are many people in Chicago, other entities, and we like to call ourselves tourist practitioners, but we don't have the knowledge of many of those things or the inner workings of them. In point of fact, we have inquired on numerous levels and numerous agencies within the tourism department. Won't use this valuable time to talk about the lack of information that we received or our inability to receive information that you just shared with us. We just did not know. And so we're not armed with the kind of information that we ought to be armed with. Sure. And it's people like you who can share that information with us and enlighten us so that we know the questions to ask, which doors to knock on, because one of the things about this program is we talk all the time about this cultural economic development, and I'm always saying that tourism is probably the last bastion opportunity for African Americans, and it does exist without the normal barriers, if you will, because you could be a guy who just made T-shirts that you want to sell to tourists. You don't need a whole lot of startup capital. You just need the right destination, and so that is why we're doing what we're doing with this show, and hopefully we can educate people, and perhaps we might be able to assist some of those legislators in providing a venue or a place for them to disseminate information that will help people in the tourism industry where to go, who to ask, and what to ask for.
Correct. It takes, like anything else, a bit of conscientious concern and one's willingness to do a little research and getting some of the financial facts, getting some of the reality of various functions, and understanding of how it is, or one, you know, what the tourism budget is and where these dollars should go. I mean, we have a number of sources that create the budget. Again, a portion of it comes from the general fund. We also have other state funds. We get federal matching funds to complement the budget. And I'll get into the numbers real soon. But the other portion is we haven't had a state budget in the last year and a half, quite frankly. So what we did was we came up with a budget that was 6 months until the end of this year. And that's a real problem, because at the end of the day, it is your money again. Your money that we are talking about, and it's inexcusable for all of us to be held hostage based off of a lot of our politics of what's going on down in Springfield, with the Speaker of the House in particular being overly entrenched and not willing to work with this governor and vice versa. So let me get right into some of the numbers as it relates to what it is that you're spending in tourism. Especially, first off, the Illinois Bureau of Tourism deals directly with the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and we deal with Convention and Visitors Bureaus all across the state of Illinois, places in Fox River Valley, Elgin, West Dundee, Carpentersville, Sleepy Hollow, Hampstead, Barland, and, of course, the city of Chicago. Now, Chicago is a little different because we generate a substantial amount of revenue compared to a lot of these small areas that I've mentioned, in particular places where we do a lot of hunting, where we do a lot of off-track or off-road events. All of that plays into the economy of the state of Illinois. And we receive, and I'm not looking at my numbers, my numerical cheat sheet, but second largest budget in the state of Illinois is visitors spending their money by way of tourism and conventions. Mm. So when someone is enthused about coming to your city or your location, even if you're out of the country or out of town, they're going to spend pre-money and post-money. Well, if you're going to, let's say, the weather is incredible down in Miami and your convention starts Sunday. Well, most people will get there that Friday or that Saturday just to take in some additional activities, sites. They may do a little relaxation near the pool, just, you know, do the spa, or just go find something great to eat. And so that impacts directly tourism spending at levels that doesn't even really impact people as often as we would sort of look at. But it's a big spending operation. That's why a lot of these places fight for conventions to come into the great state of Illinois. And so, you know, the hotels, they certainly cure for it. And that's why they sometimes begrudgingly look at some tax increases as a prohibitor for budgets to come. But let me give you a sense of what it is that you spend with your money overall in our state budget. Well, in the state of Illinois, we invest close to $60 million of tourism dollars from the taxpayer and special use taxes. Again, you have car rentals, you have hotel stays, you have sales taxes at restaurants and bars, that, as well as the general taxes and your income and sales taxes at the, you know, statewide, that go into budget. And our close to $60 million budget is split up in various ways. It goes to those convention and visitors bureaus that I mentioned to you that are all across the state of Illinois. We have a Choose Chicago is our new entity that started a couple of years ago. So it combines the state and the city efforts to attract conventions, to attract visitors, to attract and promote the city of Chicago, and with one big hit. So we give Choose Chicago close to $14 million or so to help promote. Then there's the tourism fund. The tourism fund averages about anywhere from $90 to $120 million. And those dollars, which are administered by the Illinois Bureau of Tourism, those are given in various categories for tourism promotion in other cities, other states, and internationally. So when you see a Las Vegas, Nevada promoting here, or if you see a come to Florida or come to Alaska from their tourism fund of those respective states that are directly trying to get the attention of folk like you and myself to come and spend money, spend the night, have a convention, have some fun. But the goal is to promote the outlook, a positive outlook of a state real soon, quite often, as aggressively and gingerly as possible. So those are some of the prime, you know, the primary numbers that we have. The challenge is for the state and or organizations to really yeoman's work. And sometimes you have to do it on your own. Sometimes you can get a conscientious leader in the Bureau of Tourism to start reaching out to community organizations. How do we promote the Pullman area a little bit more creatively and successfully? Since your president designated it as a monument, a historic monument, and we want to, and he, with that comes resources and attention, and then there's development over there. So in our case, Corey, who is the head of tourism in the state of Illinois, he's the guy that be promoting alongside those community actors such as yourself to make sure that we just sort of accentuate the positives in your respective arena. But again, it is, you know, you can't expect people to come up to you and say, here's a big old check, so you do what you need to do. You have to make sure that you have a game plan that speaks to the overall mission of getting public money, in this case, promoting visitors. So once you understand that and you come up with a plan, that's when you're successful in getting taxpayer-funded programs that complement, again, the mission and goals of public money at the state level.
Well, you just gave me, I took copious notes.
I know that was a lot. I'm sorry.
No. It was quite sufficient and quite informative. And I say that because I've been doing what I do for 20 years. And I've asked all manner of questions. And I always get there is no money. The money for that is gone, or that wasn't funded, those kinds of things. But had I been armed with some of the information like the tourism fund and, you know, the tourism promotion, the responsibility of those respective entities within the Tourism Bureau in the state of Illinois that they are charged with expending those funds in specific areas, all of which we qualify for, I would not have taken no for an answer. And so this is the kind of thing that I was hoping that you could come on and talk about, because if you don't know, you don't know. And so if you ask a question of an entity or a person or a body that you think should be able to provide the answer, and then they say to you, well, there's nothing here. So you assume that they are the informed one and the professional, that they know what they're talking about. You don't know that you're really getting the smooth over, if you will. And you're not armed to get the kind of response that you ought to be getting only because you didn't have the specificity in your question. No one's going, if you're not specific, someone who's not wanting to give you the information anyway, they're going to give you a general answer. And if you don't know any better, you'll accept the general answer. But this is the kind of thing that I'm talking about. There's so many people who could benefit from the arena of tourism. They just don't know. John Q. Public, so the general public thinks that when they talk about tourism, they talk, in this case, we're talking about the state of Illinois. They talk about, and then you focus on Chicago, you think about the Bean or Navy Pier. But there's also neighborhood tourism possibilities, neighborhood tourism possibilities. And Pullman is one of those possibilities, and Bronzeville is one of those possibilities. And so there ought to be a way that communities like that, whose population can benefit from tourism, ought to be able to get the cooperation and or support that is needed in order to promote those destinations, because tourism doesn't start and stop downtown Chicago. And in this case, because we're an international show, a national show and an international show, this kind of thing is not in a vacuum, and it happens all over this country and abroad. And so this is the kind of information that can be beneficial to a lot of people, and we thank you so much for helping us to see a little bit more clearly what we ought to be seeing. And thank you for giving us kind of information that will enable us to be specific in the kinds of things that we need to be asking for. I would just say, no, there's one thing that I was just taken aback where I had no clue about the things that you accomplished. When I read that you were the person who sponsored the bill to create the legislation known as the Duncan's Law to extend tax credits to the film industry as an incentive for them to bring their business to Illinois and specifically Chicago, and that as because of the work that you did, that TV shows like Empire and Chicago Fire and Chicago PD are here in Chicago directly because of the bill that you created. That is unimaginable, and I applaud your efforts. That is why I said, you know, you've accomplished quite a lot, and you're still very young, and we're very proud of the work that you have done. I don't know about anybody else, but I know that we are, and the inroads that you've made in tourism for us is outstanding, and we can never thank you enough, because you've armed us with the information that we need. And so I think lots of people did not know that legislation that you sponsored was the result of that legislation for is all of those film of TV shows that I named. We just did not know that.
Well, thanks for highlighting one of the special pieces of legislation that I sponsored. Actually, that the folk in the industry certainly, or the industry execs and some of the filmmakers, even the independent individuals, the folk behind the scenes, at the Carpenters Union, to people who do the accounting in the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois, they were the ones who encouraged me and stuck with me, quite frankly, through the years of seeing to it that we had that 20 to 30% tax credit if you do business in the state of Illinois, and the hire you and when you hire Black people and Latinos and women, you receive close to 30% of your tax credit for the state of Illinois. And so that's certainly one of the most prominent pieces of legislation that I am very, very proud of. And it also, keep in mind, even then and there, if you have, like, Empire shot in Chicago, even though it's supposed to be based in New York, don't tell anybody. Those are screens in the background when you look out their windows. Those are little shades that are colored, and you think you're in New York, but Chicago would. The reality is, when you come to a great city such as New York or L.A. or Miami, the movies that you really enjoyed or that had an impact on you, you want to sometimes go to those particular places and take photos or visit. That's the same thing in the hospitality industry. The hospitality industry all around this country, especially in this city and state, has highlight features that everyone wants to go and say, I've been there before. I've been exactly on that spot where they shot that film. That has been a driver of overnight stays forever. And just remember, the second highest business that is generated, and we're talking about anywhere from on any given year, nothing less than $12 to $14 billion is in the hospitality industry. And states who understand that, cities who understand that, they invest in it, and they know the return on investment is tremendous. Look, we're talking about a $60, maybe $65 million overall tourism impact just domestically here of close to $11, $12, in some cases $14 billion. And that's what we could measure from our industry consultant. Now, there's a whole lot of loose things that we can't measure because they do it in cash. You know, those could be at bars. Those could be sort of street vendors. They could be at strip clubs. They could be in places where they pay cash or where they're not necessarily measuring the money or the success of travelers when they come in. Michael Jordan and the Bulls, when they won all of those championships, and now what we're experiencing with the Cubs World Series endeavor, there is a mass amount of spin going on in not in Wrigley Field just, but in the hotels, at the gas stations, at the theaters, in the restaurants, in the bars, all across the north side, and in some cases, I would say all across, because most of the bars are going to be packed tonight, for example, to watch the World Series, because it's the thing to do because the world is watching, and it's such a almost a new phenomenon, given how many years that we've had a World Series at Wrigley Field, and with us, you know, we're down a couple of games, but that is tourism. That's tourism at its best.
I know.
When you win a championship, when you're out there successfully, money is spent. And what I would encourage organizations such as yours, because Pullman, I mean, that historic district, one, it's an incredible place with a world history that impacted how workers are treated, unionizing, how the luxury train system in America was generated, and an incredible Phi Beta Sigma member of A. Philip Randolph and the role that he played. Even if you look at how he distributed the Chicago Defender was a voice without any state funding or city funding that communicated to Black all across the South. And that's when they encouraged and impacted the Black migration here to the city.
I know.
And in some cases to Detroit and Nebraska and Minnesota. But in particular,
listen, see, you have so much information, it's just my head is about to pop off. I would like to ask this, because we're out of time. I would like to ask if we invite you back, will you come back?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, this was so wonderful, so informative. I wish we had more time, but the show is going to be over in probably 8. So we need to go and do a little housekeeping and pay some bills. But thank you, Representative Duncan, for coming on. Someone will be in touch with your staff to arrange for you to come back as soon as you can.
Any and all the time, Dr. Hughes. And let me say, I appreciate someone talking about this very specific subject that doesn't often get communicated. And you've inspired me, and I'm looking forward to working with you, whether I'm in or out of office.
Today's show is partially underwritten by United Auto Workers, Local 551, and Hughes Peterson Publishing, Chicago, Illinois. And we're back. And our next guest is Mr. David Peterson, President and Executive Director of the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum. Mr. Peterson, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Hughes.
Well, we are running short on time, but we dare not end this show without your coming on. And I'm going to just minimize my conversation and ask if you, I was just, we talk about tourism and we talk about Pullman, but it occurred to us that we really had not talked about the Pullman, the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum. So I'm going to be quiet and let you just talk about the museum, introduce yourself, and talk about the museum specifically.
Okay. Well, once again, thank you for having me. I'm David A. Peterson, Jr., and I do serve as the president and executive director of the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum, a 21-year cultural institution founded in 1995 by Dr. Lynn Hughes. We're independently owned, operated. We take great pride in that. We're located in the newly designated Pullman National Monument, which is one of our lifelong goals since the museum has been open, you know, to see something like that happen in the neighborhood. So we're very excited about that. And the exhibits that we have there are basically telling the story of the contributions of African Americans to American labor. You know, this is something that we exclusively do because this is a story that's untold. So, you know, as we know, the Pullman Porters were very instrumental in the Great Migration, which took place between 1916 and 1970. And, you know, they were basically the ambassadors and the ushers of the Great Migration, simply because they were the ones that delivered the Defender newspaper down south, and because they were the ones that were pretty much making sure that people got here safely. You know, a lot of the times the parents would put their kids on the train and just leave them under the watch of the porters because they knew that they could trust them. And there was a little tale that they used to say, a lot of the times people coming from New Orleans specifically would have this box, this shoebox with their chicken and their biscuit in it. And when they would get to their destination, you know, the porters would come by and they'd pick it up. So they began to call them the chicken box route between New Orleans and Chicago. And it's ironic, too, because a lot of the restaurants we have here in the city, which were influenced by Southern culture, serve the chicken in that same manner, in a small little box. You know, even your KFCs or your Popeyes, you know, that whole idea came from the South. So in addition to that, you know, once again, we are the only Black Labor History Museum in the world that exclusively tells this story, exclusively in this manner 365 days a year. Because we're not funded by any governmental agency, we have an unorthodox way of keeping our doors open. We operate under an entrepreneurial model. So, you know, we have membership, we have facility rentals, special events. We have a concert series that happens in the summers, book signings, lectures. And we also, most importantly, have a traveling exhibit that goes around the nation. And, you know, we allow people to rent it for a short period of time. And that's been going on for quite some time. And that's one of our biggest things. But what we do need more of is more facility rentals, more membership, more special events. So, you know, anybody out there listening, you know, we would encourage you to go to our website, PullmanPorterMuseum.com, make donations, become a member. Just kind of check us out and see what we have going on. We have a lot of different things going on. We're very proud of that. We're very proud of our youth summer jobs program that will also be going on in the spring with After School Matters, where we're employing youth from the neighborhood to come and learn about this culture as well as media production so that they'll have the ability to tell this story to their peers, you know, to the best of their ability so that we don't lose the message along the way.
So, Mr. Peterson, we're winding down. We have just maybe 2 minutes left. And I would just like for you to tell the listening audience anything in particular, specifically, that you want them to do. And I heard you say currently there's a membership drive and you want people to go to PullmanPorterMuseum.com and apply for the membership. Check out the Pullman Messenger and check out the public programs on the website. That is how you can help.
Absolutely, absolutely. And for people that are, you know, tech savvy or on social media, please go to our page, like our page. We update it consistently, and we have a lot of wonderful events coming up. You know, we'll be serving as one of the sites this weekend coming up to launch the Big Marsh Bike Park right in the Pullman neighborhood. We're right across the tracks, we're right across the expressway from the Pullman actual boundary area. So we're still within the Millennium Reserve, South Lakefront region area. But we're launching an international bike park right in our backyard, and you know, we want people to be able to come out and enjoy that with us. So we'll be having community bike rides at the museum, and if you don't have a bike, we'll have one for you. So, you know, we would encourage people to do that. But all of these different events and wonderful things that we have going on are available on our social media pages, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We're everywhere.
Well, thank you, Mr. David Peterson, President and Executive Director of the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum. Thanks to our very special guest, State Representative Ken Duncan, Chair of the Illinois State Tourism Committee. And I'd like to say a big thank you to Jonathan Fritzen, Swedish smooth jazz artist, for allowing us to use his music on our show every single week. People have inquired about the music, and that's who it is, Jonathan Fritzen. Our thanks to our technical producer and engineer, Mr. Don Newsom, concept producers Keisha Shavers, Antoinette Wright, and David Peterson. I'm your host, Dr. Lynn Hughes, and we'll see you next time live from the Pullman National Monument. Today's show is brought to you by the Pullman Messenger Magazine and Hughes Peterson Publishing, partially underwritten by United Auto Workers, Local 551, and the Chicago Neighborhood Initiative.
Live message from Pullman National Monument was brought to you by Hughes Peterson Publishing in Chicago, Illinois, and MyRhythm Mind Spa in Homewood, Illinois. Hosted by Dr. Lynn Hughes and produced by Dr. McIntyre Evans.